Today's Perek in Tanakh is Perek Zayin in Malachim Beit. Vayomer Elisha, okay, so you think it has nothing to do with you, and I'm telling you that it's the very fact that you've come to this state, and now you're acknowledging that you're coming to it. You could have come to me years ago, my friend. Don't ask me, Ma'ochil Hashem. You could have done tshuva shleim, instead of putting sak al besorcha. So you're asking, what can I hope? I'll tell you what you can hope. Shimu dvar Adonai. Now you want to hear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say. Ko amar Adonai ka'et machar. This time tomorrow, se'as solat b'shekel, anybody will be able to buy an entire bushel of the finest flour for one shekel. And you get satayim of barley b'shekel right here in the Shar Shomron. Vayana shalish ashel ha'melech nish'an al yado. And so, the right-hand man of the king who is in charge, he answers him on the spot at Isha Elohim. And he says to him, like hell. Vayomer, hinei Adonai oseh arubot b'shamayim. You know, I don't care if God would open up entire storage rooms in the sky and pour it down here. You know perfectly well that something like that is impossible. So you think we're not going to cut off your head because you're giving us some kind of weird view. It's impossible, such a thing. Just like every single time that we find that there was a ziluta against the Nevi'ims, the immediate response of both Eliyahu and Elisha was death. There was absolutely no, you could do whatever you want, but not be mezalzel and Nevi'ims. So whether it's bears killing children, or whether it's Eish coming down in a Shemayim and burning up a whole pluga of soldiers, what, there's no, absolutely no quarter given for anybody who expresses doubt about the whole Metzias of Nevi'ims, Gehazi's coming back, no quarter given. Vayomer, okay, that's what you believe. Hincha ro'eh be'enecha. You'll live just long enough to see it with your eyes, but not long enough to get one bit of it in your mouth. Misham lo tochel. The arba'a nashim hayu mitzora'im petach ha'shar. Now there were four people who were not in the city at all, because they were mitzora'im, were Badad Yeshiv Mechutz L'machaneh. So they were at the gateway to the city, but they never came in, and they were basically out of the whole parsha. It made no difference to them what went on inside the city, and they were just personally starving. Now the relationship of the Arba'a Mitzora'im is really unnecessary, bichlal, on the basis of the simple pshat, because all we need to know is what happened and how it is that the city was saved. The story of the Arba'a Mitzora'im is important in context of everything that came before, as we'll see more fully. But the Chazal give us the key to understanding the Arba'a Mitzora'im by recognizing that we are referring to the very Mitzora'a that Elisha did not cure, not Naaman and not any Jews who were Mitzora'im, but rather Gehazi and his family, Bizaracha. So this was now Gehazi and three of his sons who were left outside. Vayomru ish areyu. Ma anachnu yoshvim po admat? What's the point of staying over here? There's no food around here. Imamarnu navoa ir. I mean, what are we going to do now? Beg them to take us in. Harav bayir. So what? They're just as hungry as we are. Umat nusham. We die in town. Im yashavnu po. We stay here. We die. Umatnu. There's only one option. Let's go to Aram and ask them if we could have some food. If they allow us to live, and they give us food, yechayunu means actively, so then, fine. If they decide to kill us, so v'matnu, from here we learn out a very important halacha, that chaye sha'a is not something that you worry about in cases where there's a chance of, although you may lose your life in the short term, you may gain your life in the long term. Like this, we would say, how can you go and expose yourself to Aram, who's probably going to kill you? Of course, this is very, you know, Gael HaLocha for many medical procedures and so on. We're not Chayesh for Chayesh Shah. Somebody's definitely going to die. And this is your thing, but this is a very dangerous procedure, so, I mean, what's the point? Well, so was going to Machane Aram. Very dangerous procedure. So, I mean, they could have lost their lives a month or earlier. Maybe they could have survived for another month. We don't look at Chaye Sha'a, and we learn that halacha out of Gehazi. Amazing. And so they get up now. It's the evening time. They figure, okay, we'll sneak out here. They could have come to Machane Aram. And they come expecting to be challenged by sentries. Minei and Shamish, nobody's there. Vadonai, meanwhile, had been mashmiat Machane Aram, continuing the story of the Perek that discusses perceptions. that Elisha was working on what people saw. What did the Nar see? What did the enemy see? What did Aram hear? Well, God had made them believe something that was absolute nonsense. He has them hear. Kol Rechev, Kol Sus, Kol Chayil Gadol. They are convinced. I mean, so this is basically defeating Aram by placing a couple of good quality loudspeakers around the Machane. Again, speaking about the nature of Nace, which is just technology. So this is something anybody could do today. But the Vitka used the same idea.
A creaking floor in an empty house where...
No. They really heard that. Actually, Chazal say that we know what happened to the Avnei al-Gabish in Mitzrayim. With the Avnei al-Gabish, the Avanim Shamdu Agave Ish. So that those Avanim stood and they waited there until Yoshua's time. And over there it says that Hashem was Muri then, Benusam, Bemorat, Beit Choron, Avanim Gidalot, Ben Hashemayim. Those were those same Avanim that Amdu Agave Ish, and then they were Yordu Agave Ish, which was Yoshua. But so that those things stayed in the air for a long time, 41 years. But what about the sounds? They also stood in the air for a long time, 500 years or so. And that was these sounds, Sechazal, that also came from Mitzrayim. One were the Yore, Bimei Yoram Ben Achav. And this was what Aram was hearing. And so they said, oh my God, this is where did Jews get an army like that from? They must have spent everything they had to get the Chittim and the Mitzrim up against us, and now we're about to be ambushed. Out! They go and they start running for their lives. And, of course, all along the path, of course, just as in later times, you find shoes, as we'll see. always leave behind the shoes. Amazing, amazing pictures from 67. I don't know if you remember, but unbelievable. Vayakumu vayanusu b'neshef. They run away that night. Vayazvu et ha'alayim. They leave everything as it is. They leave the tents and the suseim et chamoreim. Hamachanek asher hi. If there was food on the pot, they left it in the pot. They just ran. By Anusu El Nafsham, they didn't even think they had enough time to pack up. Meanwhile, these Mitzorahim come to the Kitzeh Machaneh. So they enter a tent. And my goodness, it's just the right temperature. And they figure, well, we might as well keep it for later investments. Is used to that kind of behavior. So we'll take what we can for future investments. They come into another tent. They get whatever they can out of there. These guys figure they're gonna be set up for life with this little... This is rather immoral, you know. I mean, what we're doing isn't right. I mean, this is the day that we become famous, guys. We're going to be the ones that are going to tell everybody. It'd be a terrible sin, too, wouldn't it? Well, we're going to be quiet, wait until the morning, and meanwhile people are dying, and then we're going to be blamed. Who knows what they'll do to us? I mean, we got to be heroes. Let's go into town and be the ones to be welcomed to the palace. They come up to the city. They call up to the guardsmen of the town gate. And hey, guys, we went into Machane Aram. There's nobody there. There's nobody even hiding out somewhere. It's completely silent. All that's there is Kimasus Asur, Vachamor Asur, Ve'olim Kasher Ema. I mean, it's as if they suddenly disappeared. All the horses are tied up, the donkeys are tied up, and the tents look like they've just been suddenly depopulated. Now again, of course, what is remarkable here is that Lemaisa, the Geula came about here, the Besura of the Geula came about Dafka through Mitzorayim in the end. And, as we mentioned, that is part of the story that began in the Midbar, where Chazal Darshan et Vahev Besufa, in two ways. One is Avu Bno, Rava Talmido, that are arguing and fighting. They're Nasim Sonim Zalas, it's like they hate each other's guts. But the end result is et Vahev Besufa. It is love that comes Bisufa at the end. But the drasha on this is that et vahev were the name of two people, Mitzoraim. And they were Bisufa, they were at the end of the Machane, here Bishar Shamran. They were the ones that were able to see the nisim that took place with Nachalei Arnon. So Nachalei Arnon had this immense nis where Eretz Yisrael now jumps. The love of Eretz Yisrael, it's always a very sexual metaphor Rashi brings, where you have these male pieces that are jutting out of the mountain on one side, and the Amoroyim are hiding in the caves, the feminine piece on the other side, and Eretz Yisrael, there's such a love of Chosen Mikala between the Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, that the mountain's actually closed up, and the pieces fit right into the mountain, crushing the Amorim that were inside that wanted to kill the Jews, and then they bled into Nachalei Arnon. But nobody saw this except the people that were in of the Machan, and that's when they said the Shira of Nachalei Arnon. So that's Et Vahed Besufa as part of that song, which means that the Besura on the Knisa L'Aretz, on the Nisim, was also done from Mitzrayim, which we're going to see later in the Gemara, is remarkable, because what Rabbi Yochai says, you can ask Mashiach when he's going to come. Don't ask me. Where do we find him? You find him in Rome, together with the Mitzrayim. Unbelievable. So in other words, Geula, Rashi says, he's also Nagua. He's also Mitzrayim. So it means that Geula is linked to the bringing back through Tzarat. Vayikra Shoharim, and so the Shoharim call out, Vayagidu Beit HaMelech Pnima, and they go give over the message. Vayokam HaMelech Laila, that's the middle of the night. King gets up. This is absolutely astonishing. They heard the Navi say that morning, right? There's going to be an ace. By tomorrow morning, you're going to have everything that you want. This is the Melech who's Shalish, the kind of guy that he relies on, is this cynical no-goodnik, who says, right. And if God would open up the skies. So this Yoram is no different than him. He hears the Navi. He knows he finally had to come to the Navi. He knows that what Elisha's been able to do. But obviously, I mean, this couldn't be from the Nevius of Elisha. I mean, this has got to be a trick. And so the brilliant guy calls together his advisors. Now I have it all worked out. You know what they did to us? What they did was, they know that we're hungry. So they figured we're so desperate, we're going to fall for the most idiotic ploy. So they go out in order to hide in the field. The Jews are going to come out like a bunch of rats. Why destroy the city? Well, we can get ourselves all of these nice slaves. So one of them says, you know, yeah, right, it's a brilliant strategy, but you know what? I mean, what's your problem? You know, you don't want to risk, is that it? We don't want to risk going out there. Okay, don't risk going out there. Send a group of a couple of people on some horses. So now, what are you worried about? The poor horses will be captured. I mean, really? Asher nisharuba. Hinam kekol hamon Yisrael asher nisharuba. What's going to happen to the horses? They're going to be killed. And what about every other person in this city, you jerk? Hinam kekol hamon Yisrael asher tama. We've lost hundreds of thousands of people. What the heck is wrong with you? You're brilliant. You have it all worked out, and it's all a trap. And Elisha doesn't know what he's talking about. Right. So, does it hurt to look? Okay, so they saddle up two now wagons, and so the king now, of course, he's the one that's going to do this. Absolute audacity, the guy. You know, he sends them.
This is still
Yoram. The guy has shown himself to be the most absurdly incompetent ass. There he is walking, and instead of encouraging the people, well, if God hasn't helped you, sure, heck ain't me going to help you. I mean, it's just exactly the right thing to say. You know, I mean, we've seen him in one expression of humanity with his tearing his clothes and so on. I mean, he's completely ineffective. The Navi, he's finally reduced to going to the Navi. How? Be damned if I'm going to let that guy live another moment. I'm going to kill him. Brilliant, beautiful. What a way to go to Elisha. And then he goes there and Elisha tells him, all right, at least you came to the end today. Tomorrow morning, no more Rav. And the miracle happens. Couldn't be. Nah, ain't going to happen. I mean, it's unbelievable. The stupidity and the stubbornness and the audacity of the guy. So he comes out and he's going to send the Rechev. The kidney, it needs the cook to be able to tell him what a fool he is. So he takes Shnei Rechev to see. Yes, oh great, wise king. Vayelchu acharayem, and so the rechav follows them all the way to the yard. V'nei kol haderech mleya begadim v'kelim asher shlicha ram b'chufzam. Just like the roads in the Sinai. Those are indelible films. If you could find them on the internet, I mean, the most astonishing thing. Because it sounds like a fairy tale. A running army that throws off their clothes. I mean, come on. And there you have it on film. That's just amazing. Taken from planes in which you have literally tens of kilometers, kilometer after kilometer, marked perfectly with shoes and jackets. And I mean, just amazing, straight out of this marsh. It's really good to get on the internet, try to get some of that footage, because it's just astonishing. And so, sure enough, the entire way is filled with clothes. Vayashuvu ha-malachim vayagidu lemelech. And so they come back, and they say to the king what it is that they saw. By the way, it became the image. In terms of the laughing stock that Arabs once were to the world, was the guys who throw off their shoes in order to run faster when they're so totally and ignobly defeated. They have nothing but their shoes. They throw off their shoes. It's a fantastic image. So vayetze ha'am vayavozu. They go out and they now despoil Machane Aram. And sure enough, vayi sa'as solet b'shekel, v'sa'atayim sa'orim b'shekel, kidvar adonai, exactly the way Elisha said by tomorrow morning, that's what's going to be. Now, the most insane audacity is that now this guy, Yoram, who denied the possibility, who even when it happened said it couldn't be, so just like he took control over, yes, send out his troops and let us see, now he takes control of Machane Aram. So what does he do? He takes the very idiot, Shalish, that denied that such a thing was possible, and puts him in charge of controlling now the Biza, you understand? So he takes him, Amelech Hifkid et HaShalish, the same guy, Asher Nishana Yado, yesterday morning, Al HaShar. And of course, the reaction was, who the heck is this idiot? They simply walked over him and killed him. Exactly. What it is that Elisha had said when the king had come to him? Tomorrow morning at this time, anybody who wants is going to be able to buy 2 sav sorim for 1 shekel. And then what did the guy say? Vayana shalisha tishalim vayomar. Oh, come on. And Elisha's response was, that's exactly what happened to him. And so, indeed, he was crushed by the very people that he thought to be so smart alecky, but two in front of, he was destroyed. And it's from here that we learn out in the Mishnah, the interrelationship here with Gehazi as the dugma. We're coming to the Mishnah in Sanhedrin about this, Chelek, where Gehazi is held up as the dugma of one of the Hediotot Sheino Chelek Olam Haba. Together with someone who doesn't believe in Tchiyat HaMetim Min HaTorah. And the Gemara, which asks, why just because he doesn't believe in Tchiyat HaMetim Min HaTorah, should he lose his Olam Haba? I mean, there's serious sins in the world, you know? Says the Gemara, well, look at the Shalish. The guy is supposed to be trampled to death because he says, well, how would such a thing be? But, you know, you don't believe it. You can't be expected to actually enjoy what you don't believe. So this is the ultimate Mida Ganegan Mida. So the two stories are joined, and it's amazing how they're joined. But again, what is the most beautiful thing is the way in which it's the doubters who need to be crushed. It's not just the fact that Machane Aram ends up becoming the makor of the parnas of Yisrael, which itself is just remarkable. So all the work that they did to collect everything, that became that which is given to Yisrael. But the very people, Gehazi, who attempted to denigrate what it is that Elisha would do, who was the one that kept Talmidim from Elisha, he and his family are the ones that now attempt to, you notice that they were not allowed in. They said, let's go, we'll be the heroes. No. They say it over, and the king doesn't believe it. So they're no heroes. No, it's a trick. They're trying to kill us. So you're just being used by Aram. So they have absolutely no shaykhut to being heroes. On the contrary, we throw them out. It's only afterwards that the Eved's idea, which the Melech attempts to appropriate, the Eved's idea of sending out the Sus for Echev, that becomes the hero. Yes, we can all go out. Everybody's forgotten the Mitzrayim. But meanwhile, who has the Bisurat HaGula come through? Gehazi. The very guy that was the one that was not going to tell over and say anything great about Elisha. He was the one that laughed at Elisha. The very Shalish. He's the guy that's going to be in charge of the great booty from Machane Aaron. And in it, expose what happens to those who doubt the Navi. So the whole story becomes a story within a story, which continues on directly into the very next parak, in which, amazingly, the two doubters, Yehoram and Gehazi, come together for a conference about how great Elisha is. I mean, it's the weirdest story. Obviously, it's all interrelated. This is the very next thing. As a matter of fact, let's just read, continuing on, because we can't stop now. Now, Elisha diber la isha asher afiyah adbina. 7 years ago, Elisha had spoken to the woman when he made her child revive. So he warned her. He said, look, let me tell you something. Kumi ulechi at uvetech leguri b'asher taguri. Get out of here. Because kikara adonai l'ra'av v'gamba el ha'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's called for the Rav, and it's already begun. Now, this is a Rav. We're going to see the horrific details in Yoel, which, of course, is, you know, in the chronology. It's nothing to do with how the books are arranged, necessarily. Then it's already begun. 7 years, you're just going to be wiped out here. Leave. Vatokom ha'isha, vataski dvar isha Elohim. She followed his advice, despite the fact she didn't see any signs of hunger. Vatelechi ve'ta. Vatagar beretz plishtim sheva shanim. She goes and she lives in Eretz Plishtim, which is exactly, of course, what the Ovais do. So she goes and learns what David had done. 7 years. Vayim mikzei sheva shanim. And so it's at the end of the 7 years that she's coming back now. Vatosha v'isham Eretz Plishtim. She comes back to find that everything that she owns has been taken over. And she left everything just the way it was for 7 years. Obviously, people have moved into her house. And now the Arabs are claiming, we've lived here for the past 500 years. What are you talking about? This has always been our house. Who is this Jew? So she comes back, and now she finds she doesn't own anything. Her property's been taken away. Her house's been taken away. So she goes to ask Yoram to get involved. So she's coming to cry about her house and her field. Now, just at that very moment, v'hamelech medaber al Gehazi. Craziest story. So there is Yehoram having a little coffee break with Gehazi, of all crazy people, who is the nar of the Israel Elohim. And he's telling Gehazi, you know, I'd love to hear some of those miracles that your miracle worker guy did. So, Saprena li et kol ha'gidolot asher asah Elisha. Tell me over these things that Elisha did. This scene is mad. Right? These are the two people that attempted to denigrate anything that Elisha has done. After the crazy scene. Yeah, the Koran, this is after that time. Again, the chronology is not clear. He was just about to say over the story and get to all the details. That, you know, well, you know, he did Tchiyat HaMeitim. And who comes into the room? Hinei ha'isha sherechiyat b'na tzoeket el ha'melech al beitah v'al sadah v'yomer Gehazi adoni ha'melech. An amazing coincidence. The Lord is with us. Zot ha'isha v'zeh b'na sherechiyat elisha. Now it's from here that we learn out that the no good Nick called his Rebbe by his name. Instead of saying ha'sherechiyat avi adoni, whatever, it's Elisha, you know, JB. So now, I just find it very, you know, this becomes the simon in the Torah of the guy who has no derech eretz and therefore is thrown out as mitzora, which I see as being very much part of whole categories of people who supposedly learn Torah and so on, but they have this level of derech eretz. So they'll call the Rav JB, you know, they'll call the Rosh Hashiva, whatever, they'll call the Rebbe by his name. Vayishal ha-melech li'isha. So he asks her, v'tisaprela, and she tells her over. The king is so excited. Vayitein la ha-melech saris sechad. He appoints a certain saris to be her particular agent to make sure that they use the army to get out these people. Hashev et kol asher la. Give her back everything that she owns. And not only that, everything that was stolen from her from the day she left the country. These people have been working her field. Figure out what they owe her and take it out of their hide. So it called for the sedeni yom azvat arz varata and everything that she lost until today. Give it back to her, which is amazing because, of course, that's exactly the words Elisha said to her the first time he called her in. Do you need me to speak to the melech or to the sarat zava? No, no. Why would I need that? Mm-hmm. And so here, you don't even need Elisha to speak to the Melech. The very fact that he said, okay, so now the time came. The Melech hears the words of Elisha, so to speak, without him being told, sends the army to take care of the house. Exactly what it was that Elisha had mentioned. You never know. You'll notice that the story of this woman is a story of Geula. It's a remarkable story. Because here's Yehoram the no-goodnik, Gehazi the no-goodnik. We're now being Mekayim the Divrei Hanavi, who says, I'll speak to the king. And what happens? Everything that she lost, that the Arabs took away and claimed was there, not only was returned to her, but everything that would have been hers during that entire period. It's a beautiful siman for what is coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And as a true geula, when they attempt to steal it from you, but the end result is not only you get it back, but whatever tova that would have been yours, that's the samchenu kimoti nitanu, shenod ra'inu ra'ah, that all those days that we saw ra'ah should be given back to us, like it was over here, exactly as the Isha Shunamit, who was forced to go to Eretz Pushtim, but who lost nothing in the process. So here we have, again, the way the Prakim are split up by the Goyim is so mad. Because this is absolutely, I mean, the only way to split the Perek is to end the story of the Ra'av in Shomron with this story, which relates to the end of the Ra'av, putting together Yoram and Gehazi, which are the Arba Mitzoraim. And of course, the Vayomer Elisha Shimu Dvar Hashem is part of the story of that introduction to the Arba Mitzoraim. So basically, the sixth, so if you're going to split it up for chapters, nonsensically, but if you do that, you should have ended the sixth chapter, the third pasuk of the seventh chapter, and the seventh chapter should have ended with the beginning of the story of Elisha's return to Damascus, which is to be the next pasuk. However, according to Chazal, the going of Elisha to Damascus is related directly to the previous story, because the Gemara says, what the heck was Elisha doing in Damascus? Because what had happened is that after Gehazi was cursed the way that he cursed him, he left the country and he went to Damascus. Gehazi himself. No, because after all, Naaman, exactly. He's exchanged with Naaman. So he goes to Damascus, and Elisha realized that it was his fault for having exaggerated the, as we saw before, the impact of what Gehazi had done. And in Mendoche and Mishtei Adayim, that he needed to go and to try to be Marzu Gehazi B'tshuva. So he went to Damascus to speak to Gehazi. So all of these things are very deeply interrelated. While he's in Damascus, he changes the Malchus of Aram. It's a whole amazing story that goes directly from Eliyahu's Mishicha, so to speak, which is the word that the Pasuk uses, of Eliyahu, of Elisha as his Talmud, to the story of Gehazi, the Maisa with the Shunamit, and so on and so forth, ends with the Kiyum of the Nevuah that was given to Eliyahu at that moment at Har Sinai, which was the empowerment of Elisha to be the one that would make Hazael the Melech al Aram, which in the end would destroy the Malchus Yisrael. So all of this goes all the way back to the standing on that mountain where he was told to retire. But again, people without vision like to split it up.